You can't let that bad customer make or break it for you, and you can't let it get to you. Instead, we'll just say at the end of the day, maybe we're not the right service provider for you. I wish you the best of luck. If anybody who's listening has an opportunity, go and observe someone else's shop. Go and see what they're doing. I promise it's going to be one of the most valuable things that you can ever do.
No one wants to acknowledge on content how competitive we are, but the truth is, like, a lot of these really good companies are incredibly competitive, like intense. Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Plumbing and HVAC Hustle podcast. And here I am with Devin, one of the people that made sure that I made this Plumbing and HVAC Hustle podcast, because she was saying, "What about the plumbers?" And I said, "Ah, this is totally both. This is totally both." So thank you for that. And Devin, what's your last name and the name of the company?
Hey Tim, thanks for the introduction. I'm Devin Thompson, and the name of our company is Thompson Family Plumbing and Drain.
So we're talking about a bunch of stuff today. We're going to talk about mental health and also why to get off your phone. And we're going to be talking about shop tours and a few other things. We're going to be talking about things that have helped you move to the next level. So if you don't mind just giving us like a 2-minute background on your company and what happened and what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, so prior to joining the trades, I was a dental assistant, loved teeth, and then got into plumbing. So it's like two different trade or two different businesses where your customer needs you, but they don't want you, right? Everybody needs to go to the dentist. They don't want to go to the dentist. Everybody needs to call a plumber, but they don't want to call a plumber. So I got like some really good experience working with people about the needs and not the wants. So my husband was a really great plumber. He's doing great working for ARS Rescue Router out of Riverside, California, a couple of years ago. And he said, "Hey, let's start a business." I said, "I don't know about that. Living on the other side of fear, not really wanting to take that jump, but my husband's always pulled things off." And so I knew, all right, let's do it. So we opened our business in Hesperia, California, almost 11 years ago. And I love my job. It's challenging. But I wouldn't want to be in any other industry. The trades have been one of the most rewarding and best learning experiences of my life.
I agree, and I think like it's very important that people respect the trades. Obviously, the people that are going to be watching this are part of the trades, but like that shift in culture that's happening now, and I believe over the next 10 years will happen, where we're recognizing the truth about the trades, that people are understanding that it's anchored, it's incredibly important, it's like the it helps the community, and it can be very lucrative, right? So like as
Right.
that changes, it changes a perception. I think that it's unfortunate that like maybe 10, 20 years ago, and still some of that lingering stuff of like disrespect. Like, how
Right,
have you
right.
dealt with some of that disrespect that sometimes comes up either in service calls or out? And like, I'm guessing sometimes you tell people and they're like, really?
Yeah, I was really shocked going from dental to the home service industry. I wasn't really understanding, or I didn't realize how difficult it was to be a home service provider. I was shocked to see how disrespected the technicians were. People would talk down to them, they would belittle them, mock them, call them names. It was really crazy to me because, coming from a dental background, people were very appreciative because you're helping them get out of pain. That's a physical feeling that people can feel. Then going into the home service industry, where you're still helping people with their lifestyle needs, they're just not feeling it physically. I was really surprised to see how they were treated once they got into the house, into the home. But I feel like you can't let that bad customer make or break it for you, and you can't let it get to you. Instead, we'll just say at the end of the day, maybe we're not the right service provider for you. I wish you the best of luck, but that's been really difficult for me to really witness. I see my technicians wake up super early in the morning, leave their family, go and do backbreaking work all day, and then be disrespected at the end of the job. It's really sad to see, and I would really love for all of us in the trades to have a bigger voice and a more respect in the community because you see it. We protect the health and safety of the nation. I definitely feel that the tradespeople deserve to be appreciated a little bit more because They actually can be looked at as like a first responder. Not saying that we do anything better, than a EMT or a doctor, but we're still saving lives in other ways, and people really need to identify that.
Yeah, it's just like you imagine the shit piling up in your house, one, and not having running water, and how awful life would be, and how terrible like it could affect your health. Like, and without this, that is the alternative ultimately. Like, without these things.
Thank you so much for this beautiful Stanley
Thank
cup I
you.
got in the mail. My mind was blown. Look how beautiful this is. Powered by women by Hook Agency. So thank you so much to your team for sending this to me. It's next to my nightstand every night.
Part of the thing is like we realize that like a lot of these companies have the engine of women kind of like a lot of times it's office staff to be real, but like there's also technicians and plumbers and stuff like that coming in, but it's like there's a little bit of need for respect there too, because frankly, I will be real. I personally benefit from a bunch of like half of our team is women and like half of our leadership team is women. Like I don't know. It's all me recognizing that I haven't fully always appreciated the fact that there's different strengths and there's an incredible like need for their humanity. Like there's like an element of like they understand people and how to like help and like how to do some things that I actually am terrible at and terrible at. And like as I've let them take a little bit more control in the business, it's actually made us so much better. And so that's kind of like a little bit of like why we're trying to do some appreciation there for people.
I want to say that most female trade owners that I've had the privilege to meet and befriend, most of us don't really like the acknowledgement that we're a woman. We just want to be seen as being equal players because we're there doing the work just as much as these men are. So to me, it's not like I don't like feminism. I don't like that. I just want to be seen as like an equal key player because I'm pulling 72-hour weeks just like a lot of these other dudes. And so I deserve to have this much respect regardless. And I want to say that's a consensus between all of us ladies. It's like, don't single me out. We're not going to go burn bras, but we just want to have a seat at the table that we helped you build too, dude. Like, if you expect me to set the table, you better expect me to sit down and eat the damn meal.
Let's see. Let's talk about chapters. You guys have been able to grow faster because you're going out and shadowing these companies or looking at these companies more directly, right? It's not like just being on a podcast where you're just kind of like hearing some questions or even asking questions. It's like you're seeing what's going on in the office. Is there any improvements that you could point to that you're like, we took that from our shop tour?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in December, I had the privilege to go and tour Quality Heating and Air with my girl Cassie and Oscar Pound. So one huge key takeaway I took from that was how their dispatchers were putting their calls into call buckets. Got that visual, saw how we could easily just implement this. It wasn't like, hey, I need to go buy this pro product and start spending $2,200 more dollars a month. It was literally like, oh, this is just a workflow difference, and I can start doing this today. So that has been one of the most beautiful things. It's just that small example is how you go to these shops and you can just see one slight tweak that they're doing, and you can take it back very affordably and really make no difference to your costs, but really improve your overall efficiencies and all, and take those things back to your team, and they're super excited. So I have really loved that opportunity to go and just be a fly on the wall, and then also see that everybody else has chaos. From all the shops that I've been able to go to, we see that everyone has this controlled chaos, and no one's really talking about it because in the world of social media, we're talking about how our businesses are great and we're just like gonna flex and show our Service Titan dashboard all day. Like, hey, dude, look at me. But you're not talking about the shit you went through to get to that number. And it's not easy. There's a lot going on behind those numbers. And I've really enjoyed that opportunity to go and see what other people are doing because it validates me and that it inspires and encourages me. So if anybody who's listening has an opportunity, go and observe someone else's shop. Go and see what they're doing. I promise it's going to be one of the most valuable things that you can ever do.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like you're talking about seeing things that aren't on the shiny social media stuff. And I love seeing problems. Like, I also think problems are really good topics for podcasts too, because we're not just saying, hey, it's all sweet, but it's crazy because every single really good, because I do a lot of shop tours too, just like I do video stuff, but I'm always there and I try to, I don't like necessarily always show the like where we're on having this conversation. We're like, oh, damn, something's really fucked up right now. You know, like we don't always like zoom in on that because I'm not trying to make them uncomfortable, but being there in that moment and feeling that, like their competitive juices or like all the other things like that. Like we're not, I always find that an interesting one. Like no one wants to acknowledge on content how competitive we are. But the truth is, like a lot of these really good companies are incredibly competitive, like intense. And so it's like,
Crazy.
okay, I get that these people on social media want to say we're not really competing or whatever, but they are. I mean, we are
But we
competing.
are. But
Yeah,
we are.
it's
We're all
fun.
watching what the other person's
Yeah,
doing, and then we're comparing what we're doing versus
yeah.
them. And they're like, oh, I got to get to this level. I got to get to this level. And then you go back to your management team, and they're like, we're still implementing the last thing that you told me to do. So you got to be careful on that stuff too. Don't burn
Yeah.
out the team that's actually executing and implementing these things for you as well.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's balanced right now with the, you know, softness, let's call it, in the economy. Where like people like for instance setting goals before you knew exactly what the year was going to be, like maybe you set a goal for 6 months ago and then like now it's hitting and you're like, well, it's a little different now. You know, so what is that like between expectation versus reality? How do you balance that? Like if you had big goals and then something's hitting with the economy or something like that, how do you kind of balance those expectations?
You know, that's tricky. And I'll be the first to admit that my husband and I have been those people who are like, we have this goal, but where's our strategy behind that? You know, we've had a couple of years in business where like, we're just going to put this number on the board and just like hope and pray that God just gives it to us. But like, that's not what happens. Every single year that we've been in business, we've learned more and more and more about the ins and the outs and how we need to change operations to actually make these things happen. So always keep that in mind, you know, just because we may be where we're at now, it took a while for us to get there. You know, we went into our business thinking like, oh, we're in this position because we must know everything, but that's so naive, man.
Yeah.
Like we would go to trade shows, you know, my husband would show up as OG Plum God and not go to one class.
Yeah.
This happened for probably like 3 years, and I can't tell you how much I wish I had those 3 years back because I was really missing out on my leadership and ownership development that I probably should have had then. And we didn't start realizing that we weren't scaling, you know, or growing into the positions that we wanted to up until about 5 years in. And we realized, damn, this isn't just like us showing up and like putting on the shirt and just having the title. Like, you have to continue to develop yourself as a leader because if you're not developing yourself as a leader, your team is going to be extremely stagnant. And then you're going to have those moments of competition where you're going to hop on Facebook and you realize, I am not doing the things that I'm pretending that I'm doing on Instagram. I'm actually not doing it. So you have to do it.
Yeah. There's a little bit of confusion here too with the whole like we're marketing our companies. So we're presenting the best possible face to that. And we want to get business from social media. And then when we look, it's tough because there is chaos under the hood of every single company, even the high performing ones. But let's say a growth mode company that's like trying to go, wait, can I ask what you guys are doing in revenue? You can tell me now.
So in Arizona, we're doing three. In California, we're doing four.
Okay, so 7, that's incredible. Like in that mode from going from 3 to 10 or 5 to 10, like there's a lot of chaos. Every company going from those, like that is chaos central. I will say, because we work with a chunk of bigger companies as well. There's a lot of chaos under the hood over there too. Guess why? Because they got like more layers of management, and like that's confusing sometimes, especially if you know you. I don't know why it happens, but there's like a lot. You know, like this is the reason I didn't love working with corporate companies because of the confusion that happens from all these layers. But like, we have to market at the same time, right? And be authentic. How can we do all that? Like, how do we be authentic and market with our best face forward. You
I mean,
know?
I think the best thing to do is just go right back to basics. You know, really just go back to make things as simplified as possible. We'll talk in customer service how you want the least amount of friction with your customers, but how much friction do you have between yourself and your technicians on Slack? How much friction do you have between the interaction of your technician and your customer? Are you so process thick that it's creating friction, or can you simplify these things? You know, so, and the, like, once again, these are things that I've identified that we had in our organization that we needed to change. You know, we, my husband and I have gotten to a point where, like, hey, we've kind of hit a lid. We still want to grow, but like, why aren't we expanding to the next level of business? Like, all of these people that we see, and I want, really want to go back. We had to develop ourselves as leaders. And right now, we're in that messy middle. We're doing a hard look in the mirror and we're looking and seeing, are we capable of these things? How is our emotional intellect, you know, with our employees? Are we patient? Are we consistent? Are we good planners? Are we organized? If we're not, let's find some great people to do these things for us. So that's where we're currently at.
I mean, that's a big move. Like, if you get hyper, like, or not hyper, because we can't ever just focus on one thing in business, right? It's business hard. But like the leadership thing, though, like getting really good at that, it is like one of the biggest lever points. Like, right? Like these crucial conversations with key people that are kind of leading the probably like you've got some other leaders in place, right? Like in like trying to lead leaders that can act, like, develop their skills. 'Cause I've learned a lot of things just because of the pain of being a business owner. Like I didn't want to learn stuff, right? Like I just you just
I will
learn.
tell you,
Yeah.
you, I will tell you, my managers are the most incredible people. I
Yeah.
have four amazing managers. Every single one of them holds John and I accountable. And that's what you need. You know, we'll have such an honest relationship between the four of us, the six of us all together. But I couldn't do the things that I want to do within our business if it wasn't for each of these people and having that accountability full circle. So if one of us is off, we'll be like, hey, dude, you're off. Or if like one of us is wrong, if we're overly aggressive, like the managers will be like, hey, you need to take a step down, but you need that. And then we need our managers to be super healthy because they're managing your staff. So for me, the most valuable relationship is starting with those key players in your organization, loving them, inspiring them, allowing them to thrive in your absence. Because if you're allowing them to do that, they're going to do the same thing. It's a trickle effect for your team. So we've made these changes within the past year of our organization, and we've seen so much positive change. I can't tell you how great it's felt. Just getting out of their way a little bit has been really good.
Absolutely. And yeah, leadership is one of those big levers. Like, in really getting, like, it sounds like empathetic and like loving your people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. And then sales is one of those big levers, obviously, that we see with these high performing companies. Like, how have you guys developed in that area? It sounded like, you know, people look at the marketing, people look at lead flow, but I look at lead flow as like, it's just going to be an accelerant. The company has to be good and has to like create referrals from their service. And if you do that, then you can pour the gas on the fire. But if you pour the gas on, it's just a spark and the customer service is kind of shitty. Then you put out the, you could put it out. 'Cause now everyone knows that the like marketing just accelerates good things. It doesn't make a good thing. It doesn't make something that wasn't good, good. So like, how is that service and that offering options and things like that? What have you learned from shop tours, or what is like a last couple of years improvement that you guys have made around some of that?
He does is he teaches the most valuable team in your business. He'll just add nothing but profit.
There's so much money left in the call center. So much money. If you're not at a 90% booking rate, showing empathy on the phone, smiling on the phone, making sure they're having a better day after they got off the phone with you, then you need to call Power Selling Pros and Sebring.
Well, I used to look at, you know, the amount of money that we were spending for a campaign versus the ROI and immediately want to go back and like blame the marketer or how they set up the campaign instead of like really looking within our four walls. I see this a lot happening today. I see people talking about how call volume is down and how their marketing company, it's all their marketing company's fault, and they just literally want to jump and go to a new marketing company because the call volume's down. But what are you doing with your existing customers? And what did you do to retain that customer for the money that you just spent for them to call you? People aren't looking at that deep enough. So what I like to do is I'll run that campaign and be like, hey, I put X amount of dollars towards this campaign. I want to look at every single one of those calls and see how our CSR, you know, presented themselves on the phone. Like, I want to dive deep and to look for training objectives for our team, not look back and be like, I need to put more money here. I want to see what I can do to create a better consumer experience for the customers that we've already spent money on.
Yeah.
That is where you're really going to get strong in this economy, because the economic forecast for 2024 in an election year doesn't look good for a lot of us. So you need to look and see what you can do with what you have before you continue to spend. And I know, Tim, you probably don't like that because you're a marketing guy and you want new clients, you want all these things, but I'm also trying to back you. You know, if people are coming to you and saying like, hey, you're not doing good enough of a job because I'm number two on Mattpack and not number one, you know, like, well, dude, like, we're trying our best, but let's also focus on what we're doing on the consumer side. What are you doing to make your customers feel all happy and good inside about that new toilet, right? Like, what are we doing there?
Oh, absolutely. I think, there's some old school businesses. Some of them aren't that small. They're like, for us, it's all referrals. We don't need to do as much marketing. I think about that mindset a lot, partly because my family has a business and they're a $20 million company. I got nothing from them. Don't worry. I'm not like a nepo baby over here.
I don't see that silver spoon hanging out of your mouth, so I think we're good.
But my dad and my brother have this company together and they've built it over the last 20 years and they've done it with no marketing. So it's like almost like flies completely in the face. So I respect the opinion of word of mouth and, oh, our customers refer us. That is a really
Yes.
good base. It's a really good base to start on. Now, when things hit the fan, and when like it's nice to have that aggressive, I like aggressive business development, and I think my family could use that. And this, as the economy's kind of taking a little bit of a dip, I could help them. I'm gonna get a whole company over here, but and we only work with contractors or home service businesses. So, but that's the thing, is like it's a really good base, and I think it's good to start with that mindset. Like some people think they're gonna skip that and go straight to like, we're gonna accelerate this, we're gonna go faster, we're gonna get leads, and that's gonna do it. Like it's never gonna do it. It's like never the thing that's gonna win the game. It's only the thing that's gonna make it a little bit faster. Like maybe
No.
you get there a couple years sooner than you would have, whatever.
Right. I mean, it's great if you can get the phone to ring and you can book that call, but if you get there and you shit the bed, you shit the bed, man. They're not going to refer you. And they're going to tell anyone and everybody that's willing to listen what a horrible experience they had with your company. That's what people have to understand. It's not just the lead, it's not just the marketing, it's not just the advertising, it's what you were doing with your customer and the human interaction. That is it right there. How are you making your customer feel to keep them as a happy customer? By the time you leave, you shake hands and you smile and say, thank you so much for your business.
And this is a weird transition, but one of the things we're going to talk about is mental health. So I'm going to try to transition it in with that's the mental health of the customer. If we're making their day better, if we're making their experience less stressful and less friction and not a terrible, like it can be a terrible day if bad communication happens, if scheduling is completely off or something like that. I'm studying brain chemicals, and how they affect marketing and sales, and that's cortisol. Like, right? We're trying to actually decrease cortisol in the brain, which is that stress chemical. And how can we decrease that for the customer?
Easy.
But it's all
You just smile. Like just the physical act of like moving this muscle, like it actually does make you happy. If you're showing up and you're smiling, guess what happens? The customer is going to start mirroring your positive energy, and then you're going to have a really positive experience. You also need to be using positive words during your interaction with your customer. Avoid using the word no. Avoid using things like our company doesn't do this. You want to find a really positive way to communicate. Here's what I can for you. Here's what I am not willing to do for you. And that's not only like giving your customer all those positive hormones that we're looking for, serotonin, dopamine. What's the other one? Come on, brain chemicals. I don't know.
Serotonin, oh,
Endorphins,
oxytocin is the love one.
oxytocin. Yes. Like
Oh, that's my
you,
favorite.
yes. Right. I
Baby.
mean, you as a consumer, Tim. Okay. If you have somebody come into your home, you don't want them to come in and be like, oh my God, I just got off the phone with my wife and she's pissed. Like you don't want to bring that energy in. Like it's a matter of just shaking it off, doing mental preparation before you get in the door. I don't care if you have to park around the corner and you need to listen to like your walkout song, your UFC walkout song. For me, it's Let's Go by Trick Daddy. Let's do it right now. Like that is my song. Put it on. I'm hyped up. Bad bitch energy. But I'm going to open the door and I'm going to make a friend for life with my customer because that is what they want. They want to find somebody who's happy, who's trustworthy, who number one is not only going to be selling the service, but selling the brand, the image, and you as this badass that you are in their house. So, like,
Are you
just
going
keeping that
to
positive energy.
the Profit X or Rocket X event?
No, we're not. So it
Okay.
falls on my daughter's birthday. We have a no travel on kids' birthday rule in our
I
house.
respect that very much. Ross is gonna be there. So his like every day I'm hustling. I saw a Cat Williams routine recently. It's like you cannot not be
You don't know
listening.
who you're fucking with. I'm the fucking boss.
Boss. Yeah, exactly. So that steps into our technicians and our plumbers and our people, our people's brains. What have you been finding lately? It sounds like you guys have managers in place that care about your people. What have you been finding are some approaches to try to help them a little bit? This is a stressful job. So anything that you've been finding that helps people, and then how do you balance that against, all right, we've got this mental health obsession of young people who think that them being stressed at all is going to like endanger them somehow. So how do you balance those two things with your people?
First thing, if you're on your phone, like if you are thinking that your phone is your therapist, you're wrong. If you think that all of these inspirational quotes that people are writing, either if it's positive or it's like to downplay, like what was I saying earlier? Don't glorify the hustle. You're wrong. My first recommendation to any person that might be struggling with mental health is get off social media immediately and start being a human being with real human interactions. Because what's happening is you're on your phone, you're getting advice from people that maybe don't have the best intentions for you. They're already making excuses instead of providing results for themselves. And then you're going to be complacent and content with doing the bare minimum. And then you're going to take a step back in 10 years and wonder why you didn't get to where you wanted to be, but it's because you were following some asshat on social media and then you were trying to supplement that for physical exercise or for therapy. So if I have somebody on my team that's coming to me and saying, hey, like I am mentally worn out, first thing I do is I stop immediately what I'm doing and I give them my full attention. Because if somebody's brave enough to reach out and talk about where they're at, that's a very serious thing that we need to really address. So if somebody comes forward and says, I'm getting burnt out, I'm tired, I'll tell them, you need to take time off. I'll give you a week off. I'll give you so many days off. Go and take that time, then come back. Let's regroup, whatever. But, if I'm seeing things without them coming to us, normally we can tell as a business owner by looking at the numbers. Where is their performance at? How many conversion, what's their conversion rate? What are their options? If you see their performance start to climb, that tells me something else is going on. So the first thing that you need to do, have a conversation with this person. Hey Tim, how are you doing, man? How's everything going at home? Just be a human being, human to human. Take off the owner hat, take off the boss hat, and be a real empathetic individual, okay? once you go through these things, and if you can kind of determine they need time off, they need coaching, they need therapy, they need whatever it is, facilitate it for your people. Because if your people are not happy and healthy, they're not giving your customers a happy, healthy interaction either. So you got to make sure that everybody's good full circle.
Oh, absolutely. And this being on the phone thing for, especially for, I'm a marketer, so got to be on the phone a lot, unfortunately. But like, if you're going live or you got different things going on, it's kind of part of business. If it ends up being part of business, it also can sometimes be a fake out on productivity.
Oh,
and
totally.
That's the tough part about, like, if you're in this and you're doing social media or marketing or anything, it relates, because then I like trick myself and think I'm being productive sometimes with the phone. And I think that's probably maybe not the direct, like plumbers or HVAC techs or anything, but like people in admin and people doing marketing and people doing support stuff, because it really can confuse me about what's productivity or not, you know? And it is also, as an owner, for me, there are higher level tasks sometimes, and I distract myself with these lower level tasks. So that's a tough, I guess you deal with that a little bit too, personally.
Yeah, I do. You know, we're part of Nexstar, great organization. If anybody has an opportunity to become a Nexstar member, I highly recommend it, because they give you a lot of great insights, ideas, and they highlight a lot of things that you could be doing better in your business. But one thing I got from Nexstar, this is from Jack Tester, he's the past CEO of Nexstar, is you do the hardest thing first. And if you're continuously doing the easiest thing first, you're just cheating yourself. So I have Jack Tester in my head all the time. Just get it over with. Just do the hardest thing first, whether it be a conversation with a person, paperwork that's sitting in your email that you're like, oh, I don't have time to do, you know, 27 minutes of PDF filler and typing and all of this information because I don't want to look it up. Just get it done. Move on. I promise you, you're going to feel 100 times better, because we'll all try to put things off because we're tired. But at the end of the day, if you get it done, you're going to have so much more self-satisfaction, and you're not going to feel like, I don't even know what I did today. I just clicked on my computer. I sent some Slack messages, you know, like, you actually know that you're truly taking a bite off of that elephant one piece at a time.
Totally. And I love this book about, I can't remember the exact book. If I remember, I'll tell you, but it's basically about like time management is really important. I'm trying to do a little bit of like workshops with my team about time management. Because it's usually the ones where it's like, you're not getting as much done, but yet you're logging more hours somehow. So like time management skills. And then also I'm trying to get we have an HR person now. She's people development is her technical role, but she's like doing workshops with the people around energy management too. When do you have your best energy in the day? And for me, it happens to be like 8 to noon. And I need to put the most critical tasks in that chunk. Cause like,
yep.
Once for me, it gets past like 2 PM or something, like I need to do more basic or repetitive tasks, because I literally start to get dull. Like I try not to put like critical conversations or podcasts or things where I have to bring my best energy. This certain point, because it just gets a little dull, and I ultimately,
I was thinking, because I see that sometimes too, where it's like, I see that the time on the clock, but the productivity maybe doesn't match. You kind of just put this light bulb off in my head. Like, maybe we should research how to manage people with ADD or ADHD. I'm sure there's things out there. Like, how do we manage these people? Because studies show that people with ADD can be super hyper productive, crazy hyper productive, to where they'll overwork themselves. But then you can also see days where they're not hitting it. You just got to find that consistency. So I almost want to look into how to manage people with short attention spans, or, you know, ADD type of characteristics. I'm sure there's something out there that you and I both could learn from.
Absolutely. I certainly have some of that. So I try to
like
Hey, what would I like? What would make me productive? Well, I love watching you guys' brand is so good. I'll throw it out
Thank
there.
you. Thank you.
I think one of my clients went and visited you guys recently. Was Nick Thielen at your guys' office tour or something like that? Or was that
No.
okay, he said he was like hoping to or something like that. But I'm seeing all the stuff you're doing on social. I think if people are not following Thompson Family Plumbing on Instagram and Facebook, you really should be. It's an exemplary, and you're also sharing on your personal, which people
Yep.
could learn from a lot. There's people that I can't even tell what they do on their social media, but you're it's basically no holds barred. You're like not holding back. You're like, I'm all in. I'm making sure that this is important because it makes you money and it's like your family's well-being and all these different things. So if you're not growing and you're not pushing on personal social, like you have no excuse. Like
I see that a lot. So I love that you brought that up. People will write
people.
me and be like, "Hey, how can I get more calls?" And I immediately I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to stalk you now. I'm literally going to look at your profile. I'm going to see where your wife like went to junior high. Like that's how deep I'll go, right?" But if I go on there and you don't have the name of your business anywhere, I don't see any of pictures of your trucks or anything, that already tells me you are not representing that brand the way that you need to represent your brand. And if you're not representing that, how do you expect your employees to represent it? If you're not even like super stoked about it, be stoked about your shit, man. Be stoked. You worked hard for this name. Put it out there. And if your friends and family tell you that they're sick and tired of seeing it, those people aren't on your team. So create some boundaries behind those negative people because you are on the up and up to grow. Get people on your team. They're going to encourage you to do it too. So I want to share, share, share. I'll get like Thompson Family Plumbing tattoo if I have to because I got to love and I got to believe in this brand every day.
Oh,
That's it right there. See? See?
yeah, if you guys didn't know, Hook Agency did a trade show. It was a roofing trade show, but we went to RoofCon and we actually tattooed people's logos on them. 38 people got either their logo tatted on them or Hook's logo tatted on them. Like two or three were our clients.
That's so cool.
And like I thought it was a good exercise. And do you believe in your brand?
Do you
Do you
believe in
believe?
your brand?
Yeah. We got to get sold out. We got to get into it. Like, I just don't even know how you, I mean, it's tough enough in this economy. I'm kind of saying that as a joke. I hope this shit fucking turns around, but it's tough enough if you're not sold out for your company. It's tough enough. No, it's tough enough if you are. Like, if it's tough enough if you are all in 100% of the way. I can't imagine if you're living like, I'm just gonna kind of like dip my toes on social media. I'm just gonna like kind of care. I'm gonna every once in a while, once a week, share something from the company. I'm talking like you should be sold out and you should be leveraging your personal brand. God, it's so much easier than using the company page. It's so like we get more traction on personal stuff. And this is across the board. Everybody I see that does this like gets so much more traction because people connect with beings, human beings. They don't connect with a little logo, even though your guys are so good. It's so good, but they connect with human beings. That's what people need to recognize about social media. Like, we'll put the same video on our TikTok and then my personal TikTok, and it will go. And it puts a little bit of followers and stuff like that, but it will go three times as far just because it's a little human head down there and they're seeing a name. We get less hate because they're like, it's a human. Which is like sometimes with a company you go viral or you get a couple hundred thousand views or something, and like anyways, you get hate no matter what, but just that's part of it.
You
It's
need to
great.
be like eating, breathing, living your brand every
Yeah.
single day. You have to be. And I agree, like people are buying into the relationship, they're buying into the person rather than sometimes, than the company itself. It's because we all want that connection. Human beings, we innately want some type of connection. Positive connection is ideal. And if you can give somebody a positive connection that relates to your business, keep optimizing that because it's working.
Hey there, are you a home service business owner that's tired of your answering service just kicking the can down the road? Well, we can help. Pink Callers will assign a dedicated, supported, and trained individual to answer your phones, emails, texts, and even more. Give us a call at 888-325-7465, or better yet, check us out online, www.pinkcallers.com.
I'm gonna lie, sometimes we can wrap up shortly here, but sometimes like I'm okay with a little bit of negative on the front end. Like I think about like cortisol is the stress hormone. For some reason in marketing, it does work a little bit. Like I've accepted some cringe on our videos and stuff like that because for some reason they get a lot of views. Like if somebody hates me a little bit, I think I'm just getting, maybe this is just me processing, but I've been like, the more I've, some influencer lady at a conference one time told, like said, like the more cringe you're willing to accept, the more views you'll get. And so, and like, it's like the snake out of the corner of the eye. You cannot but look at that snake. Oh God.
Yeah.
So like, I think on the front end marketing and like the views economy, the attention economy, there is a little bit of like, you can accept a little bit more, like, don't be afraid to let people like be mad at you a little bit to get like, and maybe this is just me. The ultimate chemical is oxytocin. If we can get people to love our company, that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just learning that accepting a little bit of cringe and cortisol in marketing for some reason kind of works.
Well, you know, it's healthy to get some negative feedback. You know, I have a saying a friend told me a couple years ago, I'll never forget it. It was kind of one of those feelings like, well, you know, why are people hating? We're just trying to do good. And the response from my friend was, well, you know, the taller the tree, the more wind you catch.
That's real.
And I'll keep catching wind all I can because I'm here to make a difference. I'm not here to live a mediocre life. I want to be an extraordinary type person, and the future is mine. And I'm not going to let anybody take that from me.
Drop a mic.
Yep.
There's a section here called Money in the Phones. What's something that you found recently related to your call-in systems that would be useful for other home service businesses?
So we recently launched Chirp. If you guys haven't heard of Chirp, it's doing amazing things for our business. What we did is we polled our existing clients. We entered in some campaigns. We are texting our customers in real time. We're able to book calls every single day. You know, a lot of people, sorry about that. I'll start over.
You can keep going if you want.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, that was my husband calling. We've seen incredible results with Chirp. You know, a lot of people will be like outbound, outbound, and outbound. If your phones aren't ringing in, you're dialing out, which I still agree to. But it's 2024. People don't like talking on the phone. So if you're doing that, your CSRs are just basically calling and doing voicemail drops all day. You know, if you're a client, start utilizing SMS as well. Check your state laws, though. California is a little tricky. You have to have some disclaimers in there if you're going to be sending people messages, even for your existing clients. But I have seen huge, incredible results from using Chirp, actually, just sending people text messages.
The other piece is hot takes and cold trends. So what's a opinion that you have that may be controversial, that you think is controversial in the industry? And then the other one is cold trends. What's something people are wasting time, money, energy, or effort on that they should stop doing?
So hot take, I think something that I'm super excited about is call-by-call coaching. A lot of people look at it as controversial because they look at it as being micromanaging your technicians. This isn't micromanagement. This is actually coaching your technician as if we were there as a virtual ride along, and you are making a difference at the time of the interaction. You know, we could go back, we could debrief after the call, but once you leave, you leave. So that window of opportunity is now shortened. So I'm really excited to start doing call by call coaching within Thompson Family Plumbing. And second part of that question was what, Tim?
Cold trends. What's something people are wasting time, money, energy, or effort on that they should stop doing?
Bitching about your marketing company, and that has nothing to do with Tim. Stop blaming your marketing company if your technicians aren't converting calls. Stop doing that. I've seen this every single day. It's making me feel absolutely crazy. Obviously, if you're not getting the leads and you can see that the organic search is going down, have that conversation. But if you're not going down, and if Google's not spending your LSAs, you need to really take advantage of the customers that are calling you. What are you doing to make a difference for the people that you are serving today? Stop blaming everybody else. Look right back within your own home.
What can people do to check you guys out?
They can find us on Instagram. My handle is Devyn.Thompson, and it's Devynn. You can find my husband on Instagram. He is the OG Plum God. You can find our company on all platforms, Thompson Family Plumbing. We like doing reels. You know, we're on TikTok, YouTube, the whole thing. It's all about showing up to work and having fun with the people that you're with every single day. That's what we're all about at Thompson Family Plumbing.
Check their socials out for an example of people doing it right. Follow them. Take inspiration from them. Have fun like them. They're doing cool shit. Thank you guys all for watching and listening. The podcast is put on by HookAgency.com, HookAgency all over social. And have a great day. Bye.